From WAMU 88.5 at American University in Washington, welcome to the Politics Hour starring Tom Sherwood. I'm Kojo Nandi. Tom Sherwood is our resident analyst. He's a contributing writer for Washington City Paper. He joins us in studio. Tom Sherwood, welcome.
Good afternoon.
2 days in a row, you were here yesterday when we interviewed U.S. Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia. Were you happy with your performance?
Yes, I hope the listeners and were, and that they'll be contributing to our next fundraising campaign whenever it comes up.
We'll have to see what happens with that. Later in the broadcast, we'll be talking with Robin Ficker. He is the Republican candidate for Montgomery County Executive. Joining us in studio now is Angela Alsobrooks. She is the Democratic nominee for Prince George's County Executive. She's currently state's attorney for Prince George's County. Angela Alsobrooks, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone.
Tom Sherwood, Mayor Muriel Bowser has joined Angela Alsobrooks in the mother category. She and her baby, Miranda, were both on the Today Show this week. She says the Today Show host inspired her to adopt a baby at this point. Did you watch the show?
I have seen in the world of social media, you know, you don't have to watch it when it appears. You can watch it anytime. I have seen it.
It was the first public viewing of baby Miranda.
Yes, and if I may say so, because I did tweet about this, I want to be upfront about it. As happy as we all are for Mayor Bowser and for her daughter Miranda and baptism
here
is on Sunday.
Here it comes. Uh-oh.
I think for a city that is disrespected by the rest of the country, and particularly by the national government, that we are not seen as true Americans, we're somehow the District of Columbia people, that I wish the mayor had chosen a more local event for the first public discussion and pictures of the mayor's child.
She could have Politics Hour, showed her on the live video stream.
She could have done something, anything local, I think would have been better. But, you know, it is the mayor, it is her child, she can do what she likes. But I think the District of Columbia citizens would have been proud to come to an event where the mayor would have said something. She's very involved in maternal care and these other issues, and it would have been great to have something like that in our city and let the Today Show come to us rather than go to them.
Angela Alsobrooks, you're happy for the mayor?
Oh, my gosh. I've spoken with her about this. I am so happy for her. I am so happy for Miranda. I cannot wait to meet her. In fact, I'm really thrilled I'll be able to meet her. She will be blessed. She'll have a baptism this weekend.
Sunday.
And I am looking forward to meeting. She's so beautiful. I saw her photos, and I have to say, motherhood, as far as I'm concerned, is the best thing ever. So I am so happy for her and can't wait to meet baby Miranda.
Now, how old is your child?
My daughter is 13. And
okay, I was going to say, how
she was
happy
12
is
when
it?
She started running.
I was going to, yeah, you know, but teenage children, boys or girls.
Goodness.
This is a very, you're going to be the county executive, barring some unforeseen
That's
thing.
When they start challenging you.
And then you're going to have a teenage daughter.
And I know. And my daughter is brilliant. And we looked down in the car this morning, and she drove up in front of the school and had forgotten to wear her school shoes. So stayed up most of the night finishing homework, close to 1 o'clock in the morning, and then drove up and said, "Oh, my Lord, where are your?"
And we'll get into that maybe later.
13 is an interesting age.
Under the headline under the titling of Loose Lips, you wrote in the city paper this week that Mayor Muriel Bowser is no longer putting out a daily schedule. What is the nature of your concern about this?
Well, I think, you know, again, public officials, leaders, the Governor Hogan in Maryland and Governor Northam in Virginia and others put out schedules of generally what they do. They're not the most knowledgeable things, but we get some sense of what the county executive or state governor or mayor is doing. And back in May, the mayor's office suddenly stopped. Now, also in May was the time she did adopt a child. There could have been an interruption for a while there, but she had said then that she would maintain an active schedule, and she has. And it turns out it's kind of odd. It took 3 days to get the answer from the mayor's office. But they just thought it was kind of superfluous that they were also doing announcements of the things that were appearing on the schedule. They just thought they'd cut back and just announce what they wanted to announce. But now they've said on the 17th of September, after these inquiries, they're going to start the schedule again because the council will be back in session. Well, the mayor rarely, you know, puts her schedule up of what the council's doing or not doing. But here's the deal. On the 17th of September, the mayor's will now have a public schedule for us all to look at.
In studio with us is Angela Alsobrook. She's the Democratic nominee for Prince George's County Executive, currently State's Attorney for Prince George's County. Brandon Cooper, the chairman of the Prince George's County Republican Party, said that your former GOP opponent, Jerry Mathis, dropped out of the race after making a deal with you, something both you and Mr. Mathis say did not happen. Mathis says he dropped out after first having a conversation with your father, and then after talking to you and realizing that you believed in a lot of the same things. Can you clear things up for us? What happened?
Well, you know what? First of all, I don't make backroom deals. Not now, not ever. Never have, never will. And so what a lie that was. What I must say is I am, first of all, so proud of Jerry Mathis that he had the humility to decide that we could accomplish more together than we could running against each other in a race where he thought that I was the best person to represent Prince George's County. I think that is a model that I hope we will see replicate itself around the country, that we focus more intensely on the needs of our citizens. And when Jerry Mathis said, you know what, she's a person whose vision I agree with, and I actually think she's the best person for the job, that took a great deal of humility, and I am really proud to have his support and look forward to continuing to work together. Mr. Cooper does not have the credibility, we know, to question anyone. I believe I do, but he has his own troubles, and we're going to keep moving forward in representing Prince George's County.
Mr. Cooper, again, the Republican chairman, I think they meet in a phone booth in Prince George's County in terms of the number of people who are Republicans.
Are there still phone booths around?
Well, I have to say that, let people know how old I am, a phone booth.
Well, we're at that age.
Here's what I thought about this, because there was no definitive information in Mr. Cooper's allegation. And again, you and Mr. Mathis both said, no, you did not promise him or offer him a job and for him to get out. You're so far ahead, why would you? You've said, and I agree with that. But here's the deal. Does this guarantee that Mr. Mathis won't get a job in your administration after this flap?
Nobody's guaranteed to get a job in our administration.
Will not get a job after this, because even if he's qualified for something, people say, see, we told you it was true. So it looks like to me he's not going to get a job.
Oh, we're not responding. Mr. Cooper and whatever he thinks about is of no moment to anyone in our county right now. And okay. So I think Mr. Mathis will deserve to have his background and experience considered like everyone else. He's a person who's worked in real estate for many, many years, has lived in our county for nearly 40 years. And I believe that is worth taking a look at to see where he can contribute. We can't spare any talent in our county. We're excited about all the people who are interested in contributing to our administration, and we will absolutely consider Mr. Mathis, along with the, you know, so many others who have contacted us and are excited about moving our county forward.
This week, former Prince George's County State Delegate Michael Lynn Vaughn was sentenced to 4 years in prison for bribery and conspiracy charges. The notion that he actually took the money in cash in a bathroom someplace caused me to have flashbacks both to what happened in D.C. to a member of the council and what happened to the former county executive in Prince George's County. And I'm going like, what were these guys thinking? Anyway, that's another story. Prince George's County has long had a reputation, whether deserved or not, allegedly for political corruption. Are there concrete ways to cut down on that perception and to proactively combat corruption in government?
Well, I think the best way to combat the perception is to make sure it does not happen. I am committed to running a transparent and accountable government. One that has integrity at the forefront of everything we do. That's what I have done as state's attorney, and we'll continue that. So that's the best way to combat it, is to make sure that our citizens don't have to experience it, that we vet the people that we hire, and that we hold to the highest standards at all times, and that we turn the page on this perception and continue to do good work for Prince George. And so that's what we will do, is to run a strong, clean, open, transparent, and accountable government. One that performs well, and I'm so excited that we have the opportunity to do this.
And aggressive enforcement of the law in case people are found to have violated the law. He's getting 4 years for this and 3 years of supervised probation, but I mean, he was taking monies. He acknowledged taking monies to pay tuitions for his family members, to pay for his mortgage. I mean, it really is an insult to the taxpayers of the county and the state of Maryland of what he did.
Oh, it is.
And you had your own experience with Jack Johnson when you were working in the county. And I don't think, I don't think there's been any allegation that your ethics have been challenged at all in your job as state's attorney.
Never. I have never had a blemish of any kind with respect to my integrity and my character. And, you know, and the thing I say also is that people have come to know me. They know I am unafraid to hold anybody accountable. I believe everybody can be held accountable and that nobody's above the law. And that's what people can continue to expect from me is standards.
You know, in politics, you're an essential shoe-in, barring some extraordinary thing no one expects to happen. You're going to be the next county executive.
Well, hallelujah. I'm excited about that.
But that also means that the hangers-on, the operators, the people who want influence in the government will be at your door more so than ever before in your career. And you'll be standing prepared for that.
We are. We're prepared for it, and we will have our eyes wide open. We know what we are looking for. And again, it is individuals who have experience and who have expertise and integrity. And this is such a wonderful time in Prince George's County. Every opportunity is open to us. And the only way to accomplish our goals will be to make sure that we hire the best and brightest. And you know what? Thank goodness people are really excited about our county. And we're here. Literally, I'm hearing from them every day. People who say, I really want to bring my skills and talents there.
One of the biggest challenges you'll have are the public schools. School started this week. You rode a bus with the county's interim public school CEO, Monica Golson, meeting some students, parents, bus drivers. Rashern Baker, the current county executive, caught flack for his move toward a partially appointed school board and an appointed public school CEO. And now that school board is deeply divided, and the past CEO, Kevin Maxwell, left before his contract was up in the midst of numerous crises. You will probably soon be in charge of all of this. What do you think about how the public school system is structured today? If elected, would you push to restructure it or to keep it the way it is now?
Well, what I've said about the school board and all of the other structures, to be honest with you, is we've had all appointed, all elected, and a hybrid. Over the last 25 years, we have seen very little in the way of performance change in our school system. So the issue clearly is not just the structure. The issue is cultural. What is it that we as families, as parents, as community leaders, what do we feel about our school system? What is the best way to refocus our attention on children, their parents, and their educators, the teachers? This is what we have to do. What you've heard over the last year, a whole bunch of conversations about adults, about who's in charge, about who moved my cheese. You've heard so little about what our children need. And that's the reason we started, and I was very proud of the new interim CEO, that she started at the bus depot. I met her there very early in the morning to greet bus drivers, to ride that bus, to greet the parents and their children, to go into cafeterias and shake their hands. We have to refocus our attention on the needs of children. The structure of the school system, we spent a whole year debating that. And if we were honest about it, it's never made a difference. So I agree with an all-elected school board. Do I think that that's it? No, I think we need to do much more in the way of changing the culture around education in our county.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is the responsibility of educating children starts at home. It just does. The best education a child will ever get starts at home. We have to find a way to engage families and parents and community members. And people who live in the area of a school have a responsibility to that school's success, as well as the people who have children there. But there has been so little talk about how do we as a system engage in really increasing the attention on the needs, the whole child, really focusing on what the whole child needs to learn. And I think that's where we have gone wrong. And really, we have to make a greater investment in social services. And making sure that children can succeed inside the classroom and outside.
That sounds very aspirational, and I have to say I've heard so many education people sit in these chairs and others in the community have aspirational thoughts about what should be done, but it's just the mechanics of getting the gears all in the same place. As I understand the system, which I don't quite understand why it's this way, but in order to get a new CEO of the schools, that the governor appoints a group that makes a recommendation of three people, and from those three people, you as the county executive would pick one of those three. Do you have to pick from one of those three?
That's the way the law is set up, yes.
So
the governor makes the initial
selection. Pardon the expression, paternalistic, that you have to have the governor's group to tell you. Is that done in any other county in the state of Maryland?
No, not that I know of. So what we'll do, of course, is to reach out to the governor. To ask for an opportunity to weigh in on the initial three individuals and to also to in other words, to be involved in the process much earlier.
When will this start? Will it be after the next, will Governor Hogan between now and until he's in term, another term, or he gets defeated. Will that happen this fall? How doesn't it seem like a very fast process?
It's not a fast process, but it will take place certainly after the November 6th election. At that point, I'll have the authority after being sworn in on December 3rd.
Okay.
Not until I'm sworn in after December 3rd will I have the opportunity to make that outreach, but I certainly intend to make that a priority.
We got an email from Anthony who says, please ask Ms. Alsobrooks about the Prince George's County outgoing school chancellor's payout that has been quite controversial.
Well, you know what I'll say is the payout was a result of a contractual agreement. I didn't agree that the contract should have been renewed. But be that as it may, the decision about paying it out was a decision about whether or not to adhere to a contract. I didn't have any, of course, thing to do with the contract and any opportunity to weigh in on it. But I think that objectively speaking, we can look at it and say that it did not work out well for Prince Georgians, for our families, and for their children. And so I am deeply disturbed by the way that it turned out. We are grateful that we can move forward, but it was not a good situation for our families.
You know, education is such a major issue, not only in Prince George's County, but in Montgomery County. Education, whether the state funding is appropriate, how the county itself is retaining teachers and training new teachers and addressing to all the social media changes of children. It's you've got to be, you really have to have a good working relationship, not only with the governor, but the state legislators and everyone, if there's going to be major changes, because everything that happens with Kerwin Commission in Montgomery, everything has huge dollar signs.
Yes.
Speaking of dollar signs, we got an email from David. Will you propose or support increases in taxes for the schools as Rashawn Baker did?
No. The citizens have spoken, I think, without fail, that they are not interested in a tax increase. Prince Georgians pay the second highest tax rate in the state of Maryland. What we need to do is to better use the dollars that we have. Our school system does need more support and more funding in many, many areas, including, as you know now, with the air conditioning and other things. We have an infrastructure issue.
Who's to blame for that infrastructure issue? Because on the one hand, Democratic candidate Ben Jealous says the governor's responsible. The state has been inactive in this issue, and he blames Governor Hogan. Governor Hogan blames local officials. Who do you hold responsible for the infrastructure problem?
I say all of the above in this way. We have a $2 billion backlog in terms of infrastructure needs in Prince George's County.
$2 billion with a B.
Two with a B. And so if we talk about who's to blame, the state plays, of course, a large role in funding schools. And so we talk about a $2 billion backlog. We have acted with a Band-Aid for far too long. We have tremendous infrastructure needs in our county. We have an $8 billion plan to renovate and to update our schools. But this problem we have carried from one administration to the next over a good number of years, and it's time that we address it. And you know what? And our
Isn't
children...
Isn't that what the casino revenues are supposed to do?
Well, that's part of what it should have done. We're hoping to fix that. We have an opportunity now with the ballot to vote for the lockbox legislation that will be on the ballot on November the 6th, asking our citizens to now require that the dollars that are generated in the casinos throughout the state must go to education. We ask our citizens to vote for that legislation. But, you know, again, we have to really come up with new strategies to increase the funding for our schools and to make sure that infrastructure is at the top of what we do, to make sure our kids, they deserve. And it doesn't matter who's to blame. You know, we're tired. Our kids can't afford all the finger pointing. What we need is some success. We need an answer to this issue, which means that that all of us have to come together, the state, the county, our federal partners, and resolve these issues really in the best interest of our kids.
I had no questions for you about the environment, but Jim in Bladensburg does. Jim, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Kojo and Tom. Jim Foster here, Anacostia Watershed Society. I'm so excited to speak with you today. And I just, my question is, we've made such great progress in this year of the Anacostia. Will you be able to continue the focus on restoring the river and weaving it back into the fabric of our communities and making it a destination for future generations?
I couldn't see any politician saying no in response to that question, so you can tell us, I guess, more specifically what you intend to do.
So I agree, Jim, that the Anacostia, and you know, Prince George's has done, I think, exceptionally well with many of its environmental policies. One, of course, is to preserve the Anacostia River, the Chesapeake Bay. And so we have worked well, and we are really leading the state in most of our environmental policies.
Solar power and several
solar
things.
Power. We have the we're leading the state in recycling. We're leading the state in composting and other things. So we'll continue to make sure that we're really smart in our in terms of our environmental policies.
I have a political question. Ben Jealous is the Democratic nominee, fairly new to Maryland politics, but you know. Very experienced NAACP executive, very good organizer. He's overwhelmed by the money. Governor Hogan, the Republican, has $9 million to spend in the next 9 weeks. Mr. Jealous has less than $500,000. I know that you've endorsed him as a Democrat, but how seriously should voters who are listening to you now address the issue of Larry Hogan, a second term, who's very popular among some Democrats, or let's go with Ben Jealous, who wants to be more aggressive on whatever issues you think are important?
Well, you know what? I'm a Democrat, and I am supporting our Democratic candidates. I think the question as to whether how seriously voters should consider the ticket is the answer is, of course, very seriously. As we discussed a moment ago, we have significant issues that will be addressed by the next governor, including the state of education in our county, the kind of support that we get there. We have a hospital that we will be opening the doors on in 2 years, and the support for that, of course, also depends in large part on who's in the state house. And so this is an exceedingly important election. And so I say, as we always say, voters must be engaged and must be involved, and we of course, urge them to get out and to vote on November 6th.
Mike Leggett said, the county executive from Montgomery County, who's stepping down, he said on this program that he thought Larry Hogan, he knew he'd get some heat for this, that he thought Larry Hogan had done pretty well in working with the county.
Well, we've had some success in working with the governor as well. The governor has supported, for example, domestic violence housing. My office requested grant funding so that we could provide housing for more than 90 days for victims, and we have really been grateful to receive support in that area. And so I do not disagree that there have been areas where I've personally been able to have support there.
Now, let me ask, this is important because it's just happened in the last 48 hours. Governor Hogan and Ben Jealous were unable to agree on debate schedule except for one debate for the entire state of Maryland, September 24th, I think. You've done all the debates. You've appeared at more things than you could probably count. Do you think for the state leadership of Maryland that the candidates for governor, the two principal candidates, should only have one debate? Now, I say that in the tone of voice because I think it's an outrage that there's only going to be one debate. And
yes.
Your own thoughts?
Yeah, I would think we need more opportunities than one. I mean, as a person who just completed a primary campaign and we had a number of debates, I think they are important not only because citizens get to hear from us, but because we have important topics and it's important for us to discuss them as well. The candidates, I believe, learn from each other in that way. I think it's important. It's an important exercise.
And the voters lose if they don't get to hear from the candidates.
I think so.
Yeah, but put your politician hat on again. If you're Larry Hogan, you're way ahead in the polls. You're way ahead in the fundraising. To what advantage is there for you in having a bunch of debates with a guy who's probably who might turn out to be a better debater than you are?
Out of respect for the I'm gonna answer that question. Out of respect for the voters, when Governor Hogan was running for governor in 2014 and Anthony Brown was seen as the shoe-in candidate for Democrat, Hogan was demanding that there be four or five debates. They ended up having three. Go ahead, Ms. Alton Brooks, you can answer now.
You know what? I don't disagree with Kojo. I think maybe there would be a reason to say why would we. But I think that the voters benefit from those debates. I think actually the candidates benefit as well. It causes them to have to prepare and to engage in topics that I think are important for our state. So I think it's a wonderful exercise that should be done more often rather than less often. I think it's important.
Here's Steve in Prince George's County. Steve, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Thank you so much, Kojo and Tom, for taking my call. And State's Attorney Alsobrook, I am so ready to support you as our next county executive.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much, Steve, for calling. And listen, I am so ready also to represent you. Let me tell you, I'm so excited and just looking forward to continuing the work that we've been doing over the last several years.
Steve, you have a question about zoning?
We actually do have a very serious problem, systemic actually, in southern Prince George's County as it pertains to permitting and enforcement. My sister actually attached a garage to her house that's in the Chesapeake Bay critical area. It cost $30,000 in 3 years for her to get that permit. Well, every time I call about other unpermitted properties around my area, there's no follow-up outside of an initial warning to those individuals. So there's nothing that prevents unpermitted items from happening in the county, while the people that do follow the due process of the law have to pay an exorbitant amount of time to do things properly. The 311 system does not work at all, and honestly, the head of permitting is and the current county executive has done nothing to all of my complaints.
Well, Steve, you may be glad to hear that you're not alone. I have heard so many of the same concerns as I traveled around and talked to citizens, and you can rest assured that we will focus laser-like on DPI, that Department of Permitting and Inspections that you've been talking about, because I've heard many, many of the same complaints, and that we will operate in a way that is transparent and that, you know, that we perform well, that citizens ought to know that when you apply, for example, I've heard that the wait is very long. My own father called me with the 311 complaint and threatened to move out of the county. I told him this absolutely would not happen, that he's going to give me an opportunity to fix it. But I understand your concerns. I am eager to get into office and to put people there who are accountable and who can run these agencies in the way that our citizens deserve. So I look forward to the challenge. And you know what? You're going to see some good things. Good.
You promised expanding trash pickup to 2 days a week during your campaign, but the county's garbage problems go beyond household waste. Public dumping of large items, cars, appliances, also a major problem. Why does litter and public dumping continue to be such a problem in Prince George's County? Are there solutions beyond expanding household trash pickups that could make a dent in the wider problem?
I think you're right. Yes. Yeah. So two times per week trash pickup was an issue that you cannot believe how often citizens, they stopped me at 7-Elevens and gas stations and grocery stores and said that if I did not return to 2-day-a-week trash pickup, they would run me out of the county. So we will absolutely make sure we adhere to that promise. But this is more than trash. It's about beautifying our county. It's about creating pride in the place that we live. So the litter that you're talking about, the dumping, it has gone way beyond what is acceptable to any civilized community. You drive along the road, you can see in the medians trash that is thrown there. So the government has a responsibility and a role to play, not just in trash, but in litter and beautification. And again, in really making sure that the county reflects the pride that I feel and so many of us who have grown up there, we're going to do a better job of cleaning up.
We only have
up
about a
county.
Minute left. Tom.
It's not just individuals being trashy. It's companies dumping in public lands. Let me ask you very quickly, Governor Hogan and Ralph Northam and the mayor got together in Northern Virginia, and they were talking about economic development with Amazon possibly coming into the region, but also the Skins. If Skins are a $2 billion business, as county executive, will you fight to keep the Skins in Prince George's County, or are you resigned that it's going to move somewhere else?
You know what? This is one of those areas we absolutely will fight to keep the Redskins. I'm interested in that. I know their lease goes through 2027. I know Muriel, our mayor, Bowser, has vowed that she would fight. So let this be known to my good friend, the mayor, that we are prepared to battle. This is one of those issues that we are
it's
going
to start
be aggressive.
At the yes. function this
as
weekend.
As soon as she
exactly.
makes goo-goo eyes at the
right.
baby Miranda and say,
over.
Miranda, you're going to have to come
yes,
to Prince George's to
there.
Watch the Skins.
When I finish kissing that baby, I'm going to be fighting her mommy over these Redskins.
Angela Alsobrooks is the Democratic nominee for Prince George's County Executive. She is currently state's attorney for Prince George's County. Thank you so much for joining us. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much for having me. And I wanted to say thank you so much to your listeners and everyone out there for the support. Thanks so much.
Next up is Robin Ficker. He's the Republican candidate for Montgomery County Executive. But first, Tom Sherwood, let's talk a little bit about what the D.C. Board of Elections is doing today. They're having a hearing on allegations of signature fraud from our guest last week. Well, the allegations don't come from our guest. They come from her opponent, the incumbent, Alyssa Silverman, independent at large on the D.C. Council. The candidacy of S. Catherine Allen, who was our guest last week, is the one that's being considered here by the Board of Elections. Now, she still theoretically has sufficient signatures to get on the ballot, but it's my understanding that the Board of Elections, which is having the hearing today and will probably make a decision Monday, could actually knock her off the ballot anyway.
Yes, the hearing is over. It was held this morning for just over an hour. Catherine Allen and Alyssa Silverman, the incumbent at-large council member, in probably the most important or most interesting race, has said that Catherine Allen's signatures were invalid, and she challenged the signatures. Of the 6,000, almost 6,100 that were submitted, almost 3,000 of them were found to be not valid. The board today met. They heard testimony from a man, Leonard Howard, who swore that he did not serve as a collector of signatures for that campaign, and that's about 900 signatures. 600 of his signatures already have been thrown out. He says he's not responsible for the other 300. If the board rules either later today or Monday that those signatures are no good, then Catherine Allen will be off the ballot.
Joining us in studio now is Robin Ficker. He's the Republican candidate for Montgomery County Executive. Robin Ficker, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, senior citizens in Montgomery County. You're not going to get any property tax increases from me. You just got a 9% property tax increase that was unnecessary. The council overrode my limit in the charter and gave you a property tax increase.
Did you ask him a question?
It's just an opening statement. 5 times the rate of inflation was that property tax increase, while senior citizens got no increase in their Social Security payments at all.
And Robin Ficker, of course, is a Montgomery County resident. He's running for county executive in Montgomery County. And one prominent individual who was raised in Montgomery County, the Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh, says, "I am a native of an urban suburban area. I grew up in a city plagued by gun violence and gang violence and drug violence." A lot of people are not familiar with that in Montgomery County. The Washington Post writer in Bethesda, Robert McCartney, wrote, I saw this tweet from Bob McCartney. "I grew up in Bethesda too and lived there now. Kavanaugh knows perfectly well that the biggest complaint was difficulty finding quality lawn care." Tell us about what's going on in Bethesda. What's the Bethesda that Brett Kavanaugh grew up in as opposed to the Bethesda that you know?
Well, I think he should have mentioned the fact that parking meter rates have tripled in Bethesda since 2009, and I am going to cut those rates. I'm the only candidate, indeed, that has any familiarity with Bethesda because I had a law office on Wisconsin Avenue in Bethesda.
Did you experience a lot of gun violence and gang violence and drug violence?
Well, I did defend some people who were falsely charged with some of those offenses because I'm an attorney in court every day, and I happen to be in court in Angela also Brooks' courthouse this morning with her. We should have carpooled here to the show.
Well, now, parking is huge, other than the fact that nominee for being a Supreme Court justice conflated Bethesda and parts of Washington, D.C. For parking, as simply as possible, you know, Bethesda has grown by leaps and bounds, and automobiles clog Wisconsin Avenue and the other roadways through there. And parking is raised in part because you have garages there, so people will get their cars off the street. What will you cut it to?
I will cut it from $2.25 an hour. It was $75 an hour 9 years ago, to $1.50, because it's keeping people from going to our wonderful restaurants in Bethesda.
$2.25 an hour?
Yes, I'd cut it to $1.50 an hour from $2.25. It's burdensome to be chugging all those quarters around.
What are you
going to
do about the lost revenue?
But don't you pay by phone? You can pay by phone. You don't have to carry one quarter.
You can pay by phone, but some of the senior citizens don't know how to do that. They've got to carry around 10 pounds of quarters. And I think that it really burdensome, and it keeps people from the wonderful restaurants there.
You have been known as many things, including a lawyer, former sports heckler. Some have called you a perpetual candidate. Indeed, you've run for office many times. Why now? Why this time?
Well, keep in mind that my term limits proposal, which was passed by 70% of the voters, got 300,000 votes, got majorities in 253 of 257 precincts, passed over the opposition of all our elected officials. They're out of touch with the people of Montgomery County. That term limits proposal was a vote for change, not a vote to promote those on the council that were term limited.
It wasn't a vote for Robin Ficker. You seem to be taking the term limits vote as an indication of your own popularity.
Well, it certainly was a vote to ratify a proposal that I had made a couple of times before. And also, I might add that in 2008, my property tax limit question, requiring a unanimous council vote for the council to increase property taxes more than the rate of inflation, that was also approved over the opposition of all the elected officials in the Washington Post. So I seem to be in touch with the voters of Montgomery County.
If term limits, one of the reasons for term limits was to get new blood, fresh blood, whatever kind of blood, into the offices, how is it that we have a county executive race where the three candidates for the office are Nancy Florine, who's had three terms on the council, Mark Elrich, who I think has had three, and Robin Ficker, who has run for a dozen offices, having won one? None of you are new, fresh blood. And I'm an old person, too, so I can say that. So maybe term limits didn't achieve its goal this time in terms of getting a new county executive.
The Washington Post said that the Democratic primary was, quote, like a dam burst. Instead of having six Democrats running for four at-large seats, we had 34 running for four at-large seats.
Your race.
And as for my race, these two term-limited tax increase specialists are not going to be winning the Super Bowl. I'm going to win it.
But Nancy Florine called you and Councilmember Mark Elrich flawed extremes. I'm assuming in Mark Elrich's case she means extremely left. What do you think she means when she calls you extremist? Do you think that you are too extreme for Montgomery County? Well, and if so, in what way?
I think instead of getting personal, Nancy should have taken back her deciding vote to increase property taxes more than about 9%. She should have taken back her vote to increase the real estate transfer tax 30%. She should have kept her word, and Mark should have kept his word, to sunset the 156% increase in the county residential energy tax. That's what she should be focusing on, not calling me names.
What? Now
you signed her petition to get on the ballot.
I did, because I believe in this wonderful American system. I believe in robust discussion of the issues. And we're going to be having, and I want you folks to tune in, we're going to be having at least 9 debates. And I urge channels 4, 5, 7, and 9 to have a primetime debate for this county executive office, where we're going to have an open seat for the first time in 12 years. Come on, TV stations.
Okay, let's
help the people in Montgomery County pick the best person.
I think Tom and I will be participating.
Kojo and I are doing one for Montgomery Cable on October 1st. But before you move on from taxes and real estate taxes.
Because you do move fast.
Yes, you do move fast. You are, according to your website, you are a real estate broker.
I am. I'm the only real estate broker
in this
race.
That was a preamble to my question.
the only engineer in the race. The only person that has an honorable discharge from the U.S. Armed Services in this race.
I don't know to the extent you guys disclose your income and all that, but are you also a property, your real estate broker, are you a significant property owner other than, say, maybe your home or your office?
Well, I will say this. I'm the only candidate in this race who lives in the county agricultural preserve,
which I
am going to protect. And the only property I own is my farm, and I invite all you senior citizens to come out. We'll put you on Bucko, and you'll be the first human satellite in Montgomery County.
Governor Hogan has maintained his business. It's run by other people, but he has maintained it. And according to the media reports, he's made a great deal of money while he's been governor. Do you think property like that, Governor Hogan's property, should be set aside in some blind trust or something? Would you do something like that if you were elected?
Well, I'm not going to set my home in a blind trust. That's the only property I own in Montgomery County. And
you
I
own
will,
another property
I will not,
in Maryland?
No, nothing else, and I will not be practicing law once I get in the office of county executive, although I've completed about 35,000 cases, including one this morning in Maryland courts. And one of my opponents, who is an attorney, hasn't tried a case in Maryland court since 2001.
Montgomery County has a reputation for being progressive, with registered Democrats far outnumbering Republicans. Nancy Florine herself switched her party affiliation to independent to take on another term-limited council member, the Democratic nominee Mark Elrich, and you in the county executive race. We got a tweet from Marcus. What exactly is a Montgomery County Republican? How does it differ than the state and national party, which is typically antithetical to Montgomery County values?
Well, I'm an independent person. I lived all my life in Montgomery County. I want to improve I-270. I don't want to have any increases in the property taxes. I want to treat every person of Montgomery County with respect and dignity. I'm going to hold an open house at 6 a.m. every Monday morning so people can come to me and I can work on their problems, because I know who my boss is, the people of Montgomery County, and I'm going to be your advocate.
Let me, Bruce DePort sent me a text message that Nancy Florine served 16 years, not 12. So
thanks, Bruce.
We want to be accurate here. And we just had Angela Alsobrooks, who appears to be ready to be the next county executive of Prince George's. What do you know about her? Have you ever worked with her on any issues? And she's worried about education. What's your view on education?
I love Angela. She is the nicest person that they could possibly have chosen. She has been on the other side of many issues from me in the courts, because she's a prosecutor and I'm a defense attorney. But she is a very friendly person, and I believe that the voters of Prince George's County made a fabulous choice.
Here now is Chuck in Bethesda. Chuck, you're on the air.
Crime-ridden Bethesda, apparently.
Thank you for taking my call, Kojo. Thank you for taking my call. The question I have is traffic and also public transit. In Bethesda, as you know, with such a real estate development happening all over, especially with Marriott moving in, what is your plan for public transit? And do you feel that Metro should pay their fair share from Maryland, so we can have prices on the Metro cheaper, and hopefully ride-on buses can be free, and then we can eliminate more people taking Lyft rides and Ubers, because it's just clogging up our streets?
Well, you know, I had an office on Wisconsin Avenue for about 35 years, and I'm very familiar with Metro because, I had the lawsuit that required Metro to file proper environmental impact statements for any change in the mass transit general plan in the whole Washington area. I think we have to make sure that we have a dedicated funding source for Metro, because it takes a lot of cars off the roads, but we have to fix I-270. It's a parking lot. People are worried about getting parking tickets while they're driving there. There's been inaction for the last 16 years, and that is going to change, because the day after the election, 8 o'clock that morning, I'm going to be in Pete Ron, the Maryland Secretary of Transportation's office, and saying, Pete, what are we going to do to fix I-270? Let's do it now.
You don't support, Governor Hogan has put out a big plan, billions of dollars of plans put in paid roadways and, I mean, toll roads. Are you not supporting Governor Hogan?
Well, he's trying. However, I attended the hearing in Clarksburg on this plan, and I don't like the fact that the stretch from Montgomery Village to Clarksburg is not in the present study. It's in the future study, and that is a jam each and every day. We're going to change that, Governor Hogan, I hope.
Do you support Governor Hogan? But I looked online. I don't see that he's endorsed your campaign.
Well, you know, Governor Hogan is a good friend of mine. As a matter of fact, I was good friends with his dad, and I'm going to have a lot better relationship with him than either of the other two candidates who have been constantly criticizing him for years.
Here's David in Germantown, Maryland, speaking of your tenure as a Republican. David, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Well, thank you, Kojo, and thank you, Tom. Robin, you know, I'm your neighbor in Germantown. I've met you many times. You're a fine resident of the Boyd's Barnesville area. Robin, and you're also very good friends with Donald Trump. So what would you say to Donald Trump's proposal to freeze federal employee wages? There are many federal employees here in Montgomery County. And also, how do you feel about his proposal to put the kibosh on moving the FBI headquarters to somewhere in Maryland or Virginia that would benefit Montgomery County taxpayers?
I think that the Montgomery County government has made a very big mistake in not taking the lead to advocate that the FBI headquarters should locate in Montgomery County. I am going to do that because I know that if we have the FBI headquarters in Montgomery County, career criminals are going to think, should I locate in Montgomery County? And they're going to conclude, no, they shouldn't.
How does that explain crime in the District of Columbia? The FBI has been in the city for decades.
Well, it'll
makes no sense.
It'll help cut the crime in Montgomery County. And I've been in court for at least 30 years. I know all the judges, and I know the prosecutors, and I know that the FBI will help us there, and people of Montgomery County are going to be nice and safe. We're going to have a new police chief.
David said you were a friend of President Trump. What is that? Is there some personal relationship I'm not aware of?
I've never met him, so if I suppose some people could be friends of mine that I've never met. But
what do you think about his plan to freeze federal employee salaries?
I think that's a bad plan. I think that federal employees, and both my parents, I might add, my dad and the Legislative Reference Service, Congressional Research Service of the Library of Congress for 40 years, my mother who worked for the Bethesda Naval Medical and NIH, we should not freeze pay of federal employees because they work long and hard and they make our country hum as it is doing now.
What about county economically? Workers? What about Montgomery County workers' pay raises?
Well, you know, I think that the council, my two opponents, made a big mistake when they voted themselves a 30% self-serving pay increase.
I'm talking about county employees, not the elected officials.
That made county employees think that they should get big increases too. But we have senior citizens and taxpayers in Montgomery County who want to see property tax increases limited to the rate of inflation. So county employees need to live with that. We're going to have a thrifty government. I am going to bring Amazon HQ2 to Montgomery County.
You were too fast. You said county employees will have to live with that. That means no in raises for county workers?
No, I didn't say that, Tom. Well, you said that.
No, you said it so fast, I don't know what you said.
Well, I said that they're going to have to live with not increasing property tax is more than the rate of inflation, but we are going to grow our economy in Montgomery County when I am county executive because I am going to bring Amazon HQ2.
Governor Hogan offered a multi-million dollar tax break and benefits deal to the company to lure them to Montgomery County. Are you in favor of that?
I'm the only candidate who has actually visited Amazon HQ1, which I did a week ago, and I've talked to at least 50 Amazon employees there. I visited the Globe. I visited many of the buildings there.
You actually went in the buildings?
Actually, I did, yes. The Apollo, the Ruby, the Brazil, the Gadsby, the Rufus, the Amelia. I went into many of the buildings there. Amazon wants freedom. They're all about freedom. They don't want professional regulators. They don't want professional tax increase specialists. Jeff Bezos, come on down to Montgomery County, and I am going to make sure and work with you that Amazon employees have freedom.
You sound like the state highway director that Governor Hogan had to reprimand, who said, come on, we'll do anything you want.
Well, no, I'm not saying that, but I'll say this. The Montgomery County pension funds and health benefit funds are invested about 0.6% in Amazon stock. That's ridiculous. The stock has been going up like Topsy. They're also invested about 0.6% in Apple stock, which is Warren Buffett's biggest increase holding over the past year. What is wrong with these people investing our pension funds and our health benefit funds? We could be making a lot more better investors.
Somebody named Neil Carter tweets in, Robin Ficker is also the only disbarred lawyer in that race. I know you've been suspended and reprimanded by the Court of Appeals, but you are no longer suspended.
I'm in court every day. I've completed 35,000 cases. I think she might be thinking about the Clintons who were disbarred. I'm not disbarred. And I might add
that
Nancy Florine has suspended herself because she hasn't tried a case in Maryland courts since 2001. She suspended herself. I'm there standing up for people's rights each and every day. And as a matter of fact, I won a couple of interesting cases. But
have about a minute left.
Yeah, but before you get in, people have tried to say you were disbarred. That's not true. Spend 30 seconds to say why you were suspended so people will know what the facts are.
Reprimanded.
What was the right word?
I won the two landmark federal cases allowing
you're suspended for that?
Allowing attorneys to send mailings to people who had been arrested, and the whole defense bar rebelled against that. Okay. I also beat my two opponents in this case. They tried to keep term limits off the ballot. I won that case. Also, they tried to keep me from getting public matching funds. I went to court and won that case. So, Montgomery County, we're going to win. We're going to land Amazon HQ2. We're going to build and improve I-270. We're not going to have tax increases.
Mr. Ficker, you're giving the speech. You don't want to say what the suspension was or just very quickly. We're out of time. What is the legal action that was taken against you in 10 seconds?
I have been in court every day for the past 35 years.
We'll bring it up at the debate.
If Charles Barkley couldn't get him to change, do you think you'll be able to get him to change?
I think the voters ought to have some detailed information and not just high-sounding political speeches.
I'm an active member of the Maryland Bar each and every
Robin
day.
Robin Ficker is also the Republican candidate for Montgomery County Executive. Thank you for joining us. Good luck to you. That's a wrap for this week's shows. This week we've done one-on-one interviews with Virginia Senator Tim Kaine, D.C.'s interim schools chancellor. Catch up on those conversations. Go to our podcast on your favorite app. Thank you all for listening. I'm Kojo Namdi.
The Kojo Namdi Show is produced by Ingelisa Strobstorf, Ruth Tam, Mark Gunnery, Julie Deppenbrock, and Lauren Marco. Our engineer is Meg Bunting. Podcasts of all shows and audio archives are available at kojoshow.org.
Thanks for listening to The Kojo Namdi Show, and if you're already a member of WAMU 88.5, thank you for your support. If not, it's easy to give online at wamu.org. Just click the donate button, and thanks.